Quickly and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Quickly Blast.
Beating the Cowboys always hits the spot. For my money, it's even better than beating LA, but Sunday's victory went even deeper than normal. Sunday's victory was a nod to the future and a testament to the new regime and their new vision, and a testament to the new vibe of Jonathan Gannon, public enemy number one in Philadelphia. Put yourself in his shoes. Think of his last three games at State Farm Stadium. His defense gave up 24 second half points and loses the Super Bowl. The next day he was interviewing for a head coaching job and the fallout and backlash was severe. His life was about to change for the better and the worse. Then his home opener as head coach of the Cardinals. His team led 20-0 at halftime, and some thought it ranked among the best halves of football anyone's ever witnessed in Glendale. And then his defense broke again, giving up 24 unanswered points. And then Sunday, against the Cowboys, with all those fans accounting for about 65% of the stadium, Gannon's team battled until the very end. And at the end of his third game at State Farm Stadium, in this whirlwind of 7 months, he was celebrated with a Gatorade shower. Imagine his range of emotions, of which Gannon would not share. He was nonplussed and unaffected and acting like he had been there before, and that might have been my favorite moment of a rare, wonderful Sunday in Glendale, Arizona. All right, today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
You know, honestly, I don't think wins and losses validate what you're doing on a daily basis. Obviously, it's a production business, so you got to win games. But that team has been bought in since, you know, with their head held high, losing on the road week one. You know, a game that we felt like we should have won. Week two, a game that we felt like we should have won. They kept their chin up and went back to work, and that's what we got to do this week because we got a good football team going to San Francisco.
That was Jonathan Gannon talking about the buy-in that he's got from day one, and it's becoming evident.
Yeah, it is.
You guys believe.
And you speak about the narrative and the box that this team has been placed in. That was still alive pre-game yesterday when Jimmy Johnson, former coach of the Cowboys, said something that had people shaking their heads. Check this out.
This Arizona-Dallas game kind of reminds me, true story, back when I was at University of Miami. Mid-season, we're playing University of Arkansas. They were undefeated, eighth ranked in the country. Big, big, big ball game. Night before the game, I called Jerry Jones. I said, Jerry, your son Steven, is he playing tomorrow for Arkansas? Jerry said, yeah, outside linebacker. I said, Jerry, you need to hold him out of this game because I'm still ticked off they didn't give me the head coaching job, and we are going to give him a butt kicking.
Oh, boy.
And it was 38-0 at halftime. So Arizona.
You were winning.
Yeah, 38-0. Yeah. Arizona, protect your players because you're one step closer to getting that number one pick, Caleb Williams.
Now, isn't that unbelievable? After everything the Cardinals did in the first 2 weeks to be competitive and to be surprising, that is a take from a Hall of Fame football coach. That the team coming in poses such a physical threat to you that you better sit your good players, take care of your players. How insulting is that?
It's pretty insulting. And then to insinuate the number one draft pick again, which, by the way, in Phoenix, Arizona, in the Valley, we got an up-close and personal look at Caleb Williams, who it was a weird performance because the numbers turned out to be great. Most people were like, oh, what's up with Caleb Williams? It wasn't his most shining example. Yeah. I thought ASU actually did a nice job against him.
He struck me of what Justin Herbert looked like when he came to Sun Devil Stadium. You're right. So this idea that this team is just pathetic and bound for the first pick in the draft, I mean, it's like...
It's people that just came into the season with a narrative that they're going to keep perpetrating.
Yep.
They're going to keep doing it regardless of what happens.
Yep.
If you watched the first two games, you knew they weren't tanking. You knew they weren't pathetic. Yes. But how about this? How about a challenge to Fox to put any analyst under the age of 75 years old on their dais there? Goodness gracious. Terry Bradshaw, yeah. Jimmy Johnson.
Well, listen, and I think Cardinal fans, the football team's 1-2, so you don't want to be feeling yourself too much. But even on First Take now, most embarrassing loss, Bears, Broncos, or Cowboys? Okay.
Is there any question on what the most embarrassing loss was over the weekend?
Of course not.
No.
Two of those teams got absolutely destroyed and embarrassed. The Cowboys lost on the road.
Yeah.
The Broncos were the recipients of a record-setting beatdown. The NFL's been around a really long time. We've never seen a team have 700 yards and 70 points in a game.
Yeah.
But everything's got to turn into a discussion. The real disappointing part will be is if Jimmy Johnson continues beating that drum as the season goes on.
That's crazy.
As I mentioned earlier, the Cardinals are a pretty good football team. They might not get all the kudos because they don't have the big names and all the talent. They're playing really well right now.
They're prepared. They're hungry.
The Houston Texans have apparently found their quarterback. They got a big win yesterday, and they own the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Indianapolis Colts beat a good football team.
I can't believe they beat
the Ravens.
Those
are three teams that are all lumped into that category of, oh, they're tanking. Jarrett's right. The narrative is so easy and so lazy.
And so late, yes. Yeah, it requires no...
If it continues now, it's just... Now it's just...
Just a guess. The early line. What do you think the line is for Cardinals 49ers next week?
Cardinals minus...
Plus.
Plus 9.5.
Vince?
I think it'll get into double digits.
Double digits again?
Because it's on the road.
49ers are favored currently by 14.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
So the respect is not, it's slow to come.
But I don't necessarily view that as disrespectful as what some of the talking heads have
what
said.
What Jimmy Johnson said is very disrespectful. As if that football team in Arizona were, like a Pop Warner team. Going up to play a varsity high school team.
Mm-hmm.
That's just
protect your
that's
players.
Pathetic. Protect your players.
They don't want to hurt themselves during the celebration after they win.
Right, right.
That's what they got to be
protected. But you know what? I will say this. I think Kyle VandenBosch said it. I'm going to say it again. I said it early in the show. To the Cardinal fans, and I talked to a few of them on my way into the stadium. To the Cardinal fans who put on your red jerseys and went to that game yesterday knowing, A, you were outnumbered, and, B, you were probably going to lose, much respect to you. Much respect to you. And I talked to a couple people afterwards. They all said the same thing. One of the more gratifying games they had been to in a long time because of that. Because they were the minority, and yet they got the last laugh.
Mm-hmm.
That is how you unplug that home field disadvantage. You keep doing that.
Yeah, it's a rare feeling for Cardinals fans historically.
Listen, Jonathan Gannon should be 2-0 at home right now.
He should be. I mean, up 20-0? And you can really make a compelling argument for this team being... there's only going to be three 3-0 teams after tonight with the rash of losses yesterday. Through 3 weeks, only three teams have a zero. The Cardinals should be one of them.
Wow. Yeah. Just wow.
Ridge Rider Days is heading back to Desert Diamond Arena on September 29th through October 1st. Head to the contest page at arizonasports.com now for your chance to experience the thrill of electrifying bull riding. Coming up next, we're going to open up the phone lines on this big red Monday. Get your thoughts on a Cardinals win. Didn't see that coming. 602-260-9870. Your calls next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody, it's Dave Burns. Zach Gallen looked back to form yesterday in a big D-backs win over the Yankees. Can they keep the momentum alive and stay ahead in the NL wildcard standings? We will update you with the very latest on today's Burns and Gambo show.
I mean, hopefully one of many, but back to the drawing board tomorrow.
Subdued and
warm. Oh, he was the subdued.
Jonathan Gannon on getting his first career win. Sometimes you get that 24-hour rule to enjoy or mourn a loss.
He gave himself 24 minutes.
24 seconds. Yeah, it was like a shot clock in the NBA, basically.
I kind of liked it. I really did. Yeah. I thought it was kind of baller, to be honest with you.
I don't like joy.
It's just the Cowboys. I'm not that excited about that.
We got work to do.
602-260-9870 is the phone number as we open up for the first time in 2023 victorious phone lines for Cardinal fans. And let us start with George and Tempe here on Arizona Sports. Good morning, George.
It is a good feeling. It's a very good feeling. You know, if they keep this up, Taylor Swift's going to be hanging out with Josh Dobbs' mom in the luxury box in a few games. So, never know what could happen. You know, those two extra points that they missed would have, if they'd made those two, it would have been a zero sum. They wouldn't have been neither of the, if you added the Cardinals and the Sun Devils deficits together, yeah, it would have been zero. So, you know, they blew it. And that brings me to a point about how the extra points work. You know, if you get a penalty on an extra point, you should be locked into the type of extra point you're going for. You shouldn't be able to switch from 1-2 or 2-1, because that's a really serious disadvantage for the offense sometimes, or for the defense sometimes, and it's not fair. But that's, you know, something for the rules committee. So, you know, we're looking at an offensive line that's probably the best offensive line we've had since the Cardinals moved to Arizona. Maybe Valdir's line, but, you know, it's a real big difference when the O-line plays well. And this is a real indictment of Kliff and Kime, the way this team is playing, the way it's structured, and the way they have the coaching staff lined up. I mean, it really makes it worse every week for Kliff and Kime. So, you know, You just gotta keep this up. I mean, it took till late in the third quarter for Cowboys homer Moose Johnson to even acknowledge that the Cardinals had anything to do in derailing the Cowboys. Up to that point, it was just the Cowboys playing poorly, and that's gonna be the storyline. It's like the Cowboys didn't play well, not the Cardinals took them out of their game, and you know, the Cowboys are totally overrated. Not to take away from anything the Cardinals did, but they are seriously overrated, and Skip Bayless's head's going to explode, so that's always a good thing.
Thanks, George. Did you see the video Skip put out there?
He's so obnoxious.
It really is. It's just him like breathing heavy and shaking his head, looking like he was going to cry while he was wearing a Cowboys hat. I'm like, how old are you? Honestly.
Who is this for?
I don't
know. Yeah, who is it? Right, great question.
It was
great question.
One of the creepiest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, it's...
But you know what? The win still counts the same in the win column, and it's something more importantly for the Cardinals to build on.
He's nearly 72, if that's what you're asking.
602-260-9870, the phone number. Robert in Phoenix is up next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Hey, Robert.
Yo-ho. What's up, boys? Thank you for having me on the greatest show of all time. Really great win by the Cardinals. I had them losing in Big Six, but they won. So, you know, dang it, but go Cardinals. I'm liking Jonathan Gannon. I just like how he's all business and completely different from Kingsbury. Man, I just couldn't stand Kingsbury another year. And another note, just the defense was flying. I really like how DJ Humphrey's playing. I'm a big DJ Humphrey fan. Offensive line played solid. And I'm becoming a Kaiser White fan as well. And what Jimmy Johnson said about the Cardinals, the first time I heard it when I was listening to you guys, man, that's crazy. That's absurd. And you're right, Vic. It's pathetic. I can't believe he said that.
Yeah. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it.
Appreciate that phone call.
Yeah, it was pathetic.
You don't hear talk like that.
I said, Jarrah.
In the NFL.
I said, Jarrah.
Is Steven playing this week?
Here's the thing, though. It's like, and the other caller brought it up about Moose Johnson. There's so many damn Cowboys people who are broadcasters now that have these built-in biases whenever Cowboys games are on TV, which is all the time.
That I mean, it is something that other
we always talk about with Troy Aikman, but like there's these other guys too.
I think, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe people disagree with me. I don't think Troy Aikman's Cowboy bias comes through.
I think
that's why he's your number one.
To anything, I think he's very critical of them.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Let's keep it going on the phones. Staying in Phoenix, Tom is up next here on Arizona Sports. Hey, Tom.
You know what? That was just an incredible game. I mean, I think it's not only a reflection of how good our new coaching staff is, but it really shows how bad, I mean, Kime and Vance Joseph and Kliff Kingsbury were. I mean, we're basically using the majority of their old scrap players. And, You know what? Speaking of biases, I am just so sick of everybody. Everybody hating on the Cardinals. I mean, gosh, it's the new fashion scene. It's like, what is the issue? Well, the issue is they're jealous. They're jealous. We have the best weather. We have the best looking girls. We have the best radio morning talk sports show in the whole entire valley.
Yes.
And the problem isn't Cardinals fans selling their tickets. The problem is the majority of the season ticket holders are ticket brokers. Mm-hmm. That majority of them live out of state, and all these people want to come and enjoy our weather and watch their team win. And you know, if we can just turn this around, I mean, that was a great looking win yesterday, and there are ways to get around it. You could get creative like the Rams did on their playoff game against the Niners. I mean, you can make it more expensive for ticket brokers. You can make it cheaper for the people that actually buy the tickets in the, you know, Maricopa County zip code and that actually go to the game. So, you know, you guys keep on doing your thing, and you know, not to mention they're jealous of the greatest diet program in the country, revitalized. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Tom covered a lot of ground.
He sure did.
By the way, it's not just in the Valley. Did you see and hear the crowd in Vegas last night?
Oh, yeah,
it had to be 80% Pittsburgh fans. They deal with it at SoFi, as Tom brought up. It just happens. But the way you take care of it,
yep,
you keep winning at home.
That's the way you do it.
Make it more attractive for the locals to get behind it. Let's close out this run of phones with Paul in Phoenix up next here on Arizona Sports. Hey, Paul.
Hey, guys. I love the four of you. You guys are the best. There's no doubt. I'm going to true confession. I did try to sell my tickets, okay? I pulled them down Friday night late, about 9 o'clock at night. I said, forget it. I called my friend and said, we got to go. And what a great life decision I made.
Nice.
But I am going to, I need to put a, get a little assignment to Jared and to Sarah if possible. Can you guys please try to find some clips of Brad Sham, that old-time homer from Dallas radio? I guarantee it. I remember listening to him and how he would always bash the Cardinals. And I would love to hear some of his audio from yesterday, because he's, oh, holy mackerel, just nauseating. Guys, go Big Red. That's all I got to say.
Nice.
Thanks. Appreciate the phone call.
I mean, it's in the last name. Sham.
Sham.
It's true. Yeah, there is that. Thanks for the phone calls. We do it every morning, every Monday morning, win or lose on Big Red Monday. Coming up next, we'll hear from the losing side, some of the reaction from the Cowboys on their loss to the Arizona Cardinals yesterday. That and more on Big Red Monday.
Whoa,
next.
Whoa.
Oh, wait, no. You're right. I'm way ahead of myself.
Not even close.
No. I was so influenced by you saying it could happen.
No, it confirmed. Confirmed.
Josh Dobbs, the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, will join us next here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader. Cardinals get their first win of the season yesterday over the Dallas Cowboys, and the man who quarterbacked them to the victory, Joshua Dobbs, joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Joshua, thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it. Congratulations on the win.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for having me on this morning.
First one for you as a pro quarterback. I mean, it's sunk in now a little bit, I'm sure. How's it feeling?
It was good. It was a great win. Great team win. Obviously, it was a lot of fun to get a big win at home against a really good opponent. Just to come out and just play four quarters of really good football on offense, defense, and on special teams. Everyone was complimenting each other, and we were able to go out and finish the game out in victory formation, which is always a really good feeling.
You know, Josh, much respect to you for doing what you've done. This has been a very, very hard ask to come in and to be asked to be week one starter without live repping anything with your new teammates in the preseason, and to build on each performance the way you did has just been fantastic. Tell us about this journey. Has it been difficult for you to just kind of pick up and start anew somewhere else in such a condensed period of time?
Yeah, it's been a very unique journey for sure. You know, it was I was caught off guard a little bit, just given the nature of my current position in Cleveland going into the season. But to get to Arizona, have the opportunity to come out and compete, especially with my teammates here, get a chance to get to know everyone in the facility. I've loved it, and I've really embraced it. I've enjoyed the time. As you guys said, we continue to build on each performance, and that's what we're looking looking to do. An offense continue to grow, continue to take those next steps, right? Continue to build our chemistry on the practice field, our team chemistry in the complex, and we'll continue to improve our play each and every Sunday.
Joshua Dobbs, quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, our guest here on Arizona Sports. None of that would have been possible yesterday. I mean, you played excellent. I thought the play calling schemes were great as well. But the offensive line in front of you against a good Dallas defense really gave you a lot of protection. How much has the offensive line meant to that win and the overall success that you guys have had offensively?
Man, they've done a tremendous job. Like they've had some tall tasks each and every week, starting with the Commanders and the front that they have. Then the Giants have a really good front, and obviously the Cowboys and their highly talented front and edge rushers. So they've had a tall task each and every week, and they've responded to it every single time. We had a great plan on offense, starting with our coaching staff, putting us in the position to go out and compete for success. And then from there, you know, the execution, especially up front, was great. Like, as a quarterback, it's always good. I mean, I think we gave up one sack, and we'll go back on film and be able to clean that up. But to be able to execute and play at a high level, come out, score on all five drives to start the game against a really good defense, and then finish the game in the fourth quarter, both with the touchdown drive and the four-minute drill to end the game, it starts up front. And those guys did a tremendous job protecting me, but also, you know, opening up a lot of running lanes for our running backs and our playmakers to get the ball in their hands and get into open space. So we'll continue to build off that success. They're all foundation, so we'll continue to rely on them, and I'm excited to see them continue to grow.
You promised a big jump from week one to week two. You delivered that. You promised that this team would learn to finish, and you did that. Let's talk about that play to Michael Wilson, because it was such a big play in the grand scheme of things. Was that just superior play design that popped him wide open? How did he get so alone in the secondary?
Yeah, it was a really good play design by Drew. Something we worked on throughout the week, just understanding their calls on defense and their tendencies. And from there, then it was just really good execution. He ran a really good route, being able to find the open space in the defense. You know, they took away my first and second read, so he was kind of the third read on the play, so I was able to find him. Had great protection to be able to get through my progression. And I thought he did a tremendous job of, once he caught the ball, you know, making a defender miss in space and getting the ball all the way inside the 10. You know, he caught it on the 50. Obviously, it was open, but the hidden yardage was, you know, him running down the sideline, you know, juking out a defender, being a tough tackle, and getting the ball inside the 10-yard line for us to be set up to finish that drive with a touchdown.
You've done some things with your arm. You've done some things with your legs. We know about the touchdown run where you lower the shoulder at the goal line last week against the Giants. You had a 44-yard run early yesterday. I think I know the answer to this, Josh, but
20 miles per hour, Vinny. Don't forget that.
Which did you like better? Do you have a favorite of those two runs?
Man, I think I touched 20 miles per hour. I think that I was speeding in a school zone, so that was good to see. That was good to see. I looked up on the board in the third quarter. I had the fastest miles per hour. So my QB coach, I think, he was asking me if I still had my college speed. So I had to definitely prove him wrong.
You know what's really great about what you've done is that, you know, I don't know if there's a lot of stories like you in the NFL, but football is so much about getting the right opportunity in the right place. Have you just been waiting to be liberated? How does a quarterback like you just bide their time so patiently when you have so much to offer, as you've shown in these last 3 weeks?
Yeah, you know, it can be a long road sometimes, for sure. You know, I was thinking about my journey, like through high school and college and middle school, elementary school. I started playing football when I was six. When I was five, started playing quarterback when I was six, and I started every single game until basically the NFL. So it's been a unique experience for me. But what I've learned is just to embrace each role that I'm in, learn from whoever is playing, and then when you get the reps, be ready to go out and take advantage of your opportunity. So I've been able to, you know, in every single stop along the way, still be able to contribute to the room in some fashion, even if I'm not on the field. But now to have the opportunity to get on the field, to go play and lead a group of men each and every Sunday is a tremendous opportunity that I don't take for granted, and I'm blessed to be in the position I am.
Yeah, I mean, along those same lines, Josh, I mean, you've been at this since 2017 at the NFL level, and there hasn't been a ton of opportunity granted to you. And we know about your background, your academic achievements, and the options that you have. How much does it take to persevere through those the maybe darker times to keep pushing forward towards your goal of accomplishing what you want to in this league?
Yeah, I think, you know, it takes just patience. Just patience. And I think for each of us, whether you're in sport or not, that's something just to learn, just to be patient and be ready for those opportunities. You know, yeah, it's not always easy. But I think like so many times everyone gets so caught up in that end goal, right, that end status that they're striving for. And they forget, you know, to focus on the process, to trust the process, to focus on their preparation and to learn while they're waiting for that opportunity. And so I learned how to do that. I wouldn't say I was the best at it early in my career, but I learned by being able to sit, you know, watch a guy do it at the highest level with Ben Roethlisberger, and then you know, go to Cleveland, have a unique opportunity last year to go in and get thrust into action. So all those little, you know, opportunities or all those little waiting scenarios all prepare me for this opportunity right here in Arizona.
Yeah, and you're showing incredible composure, and that's clearly one of your strengths. But at the same time, this team must be vibing on this underdog status that you've had, because you guys have wildly outperformed expectations, which weren't much, by the way. But when you look at what you guys have put together, three pretty quality efforts here, and for a team that was largely picked to be the worst in the NFL, you guys have to be rallying around something.
Yeah, I think, you know, we focus on our own expectations for ourselves. Everybody in here, you know, views themselves as a starter in the NFL and as a playmaker in the NFL. And if you do that, all 53 guys buy into, one, their individual goals. Well, I guess, one, the team goals of winning each and every week, and two, their individual goals of being the player that they believe that themselves to be. Then the actual expectations really are pretty mute. You know, you go out there, as JG said, you show up to work on Monday, you put in a good week Monday through Saturday, you show up on Sunday after a good week of preparation, and you go out, you put your best foot forward on Sunday. As we know, the other teams out there are professionals, right? They're going to make their plays, but if we go out there, execute, play at a high level, and do, you know, what we've been taught and do what we expect of ourselves, then we can go out and play football with anyone.
Well, Josh, thanks so much for joining us. Great to talk to you. Yeah. Congratulations on getting that first one, and best of luck against San Francisco.
No speeding in school zones, Josh.
Man, I appreciate y'all. Thanks, Dan and Vince. Thank y'all for having me on this morning.
Thank you. Joshua Dobbs, quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals, our guest here.
Could he be any more impressive? Sports.
He handles his business, man.
Wow.
There's no doubt about it. And again, 17 of 21 yesterday. The picture of efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speeding into school zone.
It's good to have an astronaut playing quarterback. Oh, he's not an astronaut, Jarrett? What is he?
He's not. He's an
aerospace engineer.
That's exactly
that's
right.
That's what it is.
He designs the things the astronauts go in.
I just read an article that
Joshua Dobbs,
he thought about being an astronaut.
Love that guy.
To a football player. So,
yeah,
that was a lot of fun. A lot of fun winning. Cardinals get that win over the Dallas Cowboys yesterday. More on that on this Big Red Monday next. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Hey, everybody, it's Dave Burns here. Well, they certainly played well enough in the first 2 weeks to win, and in week three, the Cardinals were rewarded for their efforts. We react to Cowboys Cardinals starting today at straight up 2:00.
That's the challenge of this league. You know, every game is so unique, and to the specific matchups and so forth. This has been a rough week on a lot of fronts. You know, I think the amount of adversity you go through your preparation process, and we didn't have enough today. You know, we need to, you know, the discipline and the penalties. You know, I mean, the numbers in the first half were, you know, obviously something that was difficult to deal with. And they scored four touchdowns. We had one touchdown, three field goals. You know, that's the scoring component of it. But, you know, when you get into the situational stuff and how we feel teams are going to attack us, we have to learn from this, because, I mean, it's going to be an every week challenge.
That is Mike McCarthy, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, talking about what felled his team yesterday and a 28-16 loss. Mike McCarthy's got to be really sick of the Arizona Cardinals. You remember, it was the Arizona Cardinals coached by Steve Wilks, who went into Lambeau Field and beat the Packers with Josh Rosen at quarterback. That was the last game Mike McCarthy coached in Green Bay.
I have been saying for years, Mike McCarthy, in my opinion, is one of the most overrated head football coaches I have ever encountered. And I'm standing by that. I've been saying that for years.
There's a lot of people that'll agree with you.
No evidence to prove me wrong, right? Look at that Cowboys team yesterday. Look at the penalties.
They came out unfocused from the get-go. That was, and I forget what they said on the Fox broadcast, but the 10 penalties accepted in the first half was the most by an NFC team in quite some time. They were unfocused. They were undisciplined. Yes, and you heard Mike McCarthy talk about the adversity. They lose Trayvon Diggs for the year. They were really beat up on their offensive line. No Smith, no Martin, no Biadasz.
Mm-hmm.
Good teams overcome that stuff, especially against teams they're supposed to beat, and they didn't overcome anything yesterday.
No,
And the same thing can be said about their quarterback, Dak Prescott, who Dak Prescott had an opportunity to go and make it a game and threw an interception, first interception of the year in the end zone on a play where you question what he was looking at. There was three Cardinal defenders there. If Kaiser White doesn't catch that ball, one of the other two defenders is probably going to make that play.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this adds a lot. This slows down the fuel, Bic, on the Cardinals' narratives. Hey, this team is tanking. They're not going to compete. They've got no clue what they're doing. It slows those down. But this adds fuel to the narratives about the Cowboys that they're good. They're always good, but not good enough to get over.
You can't trust them. Yeah, you know, right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's the perfect. The head coach and quarterback are the perfect combination of good, but not great.
Yeah.
For the Cowboys.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I guess that's one way of putting it. I would say that the lack of urgency. I mean, you saw it at the end of the playoff game last year.
I had a friend text me and said, McCarthy knows there's a clock that's running, right?
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, it was just odd. It really, really was. And they got down into the red zone a bunch of times and maybe it was a credit to the Cardinals defense and what they did in the red zone. But that's generally when the Cowboys were at their worst. I don't know. Either way, I don't care. I really don't. It was we have had so many yucky, gloomy days at that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible outcomes. Yes. That was just incredibly enjoyable.
By the way, we had Brian Broaddus on from Dallas. He does a show on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas and has a long time. You know, he worked for the Cowboys for a long time. He, on the red zone struggles, he gave the credit to the Cardinals. He put this out on X. Cowboys red zone problems were more about Cardinals playing really good defense in those situations. Plenty of snaps where they beat blocks or had five covering three. They schemed really well in this one. Didn't give the Cowboys much. And again, let's talk about it. Some people might think, oh, it's throwing dirt on Steve Keim and Cliff Kingsbury. This team, from a scheme standpoint, looks 180 degrees different from what we saw last year.
So well said.
They look prepared. They look professional. These embarrassing play calls that go
nowhere.
Yes.
This offense has been a revelation to me. It's like the ball keeps going to somebody who's pretty open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in space. And listen, that play to Michael Wilson, one of the elements of that Josh Dobbs interview we just did, that Michael Wilson, that was the third read, is what Josh Dobbs told us. That should tell you a lot about his processor. You know, as slow as Jared moves in the morning, Josh Dobbs is moving three times the speed of light. What would you expect from an astronaut?
Yeah. Chris Collinsworth was pointing it out last night on the NBC game.
Mm-hmm.
If you get to that second read as a quarterback, do so at your own peril.
Yeah.
Because bad things can happen if it's your second read.
Yeah.
That was his third.
And he was that wide open.
There was nobody within 25 yards of him.
Right, right.
But so that was the play that broke Dallas's back.
Yeah. And once again, the hidden heroes in all this has got to be the offensive line for the Cardinals.
James Conner's looked great this year because he's actually had holes to run through.
Listen, the Cardinals have any number of 20-plus yard runs from scrimmage this year.
Yeah, it's...
They got a handful of them.
Conner had three by himself yesterday. I think he had three in the game last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's racking those up, and that's not exactly his forte.
No.
He's more known as a physical runner, but...
Yeah.
The offensive line... And Paris Johnson Jr., especially starting at right tackle.
Let me just say.
Going up against Parsons for a lot of the game, and he was about that close to getting a holding penalty in the end zone for a safety, but he made the right play of holding him early. But he did a really good job yesterday.
Looking at what the Cardinals are doing now, you realize how smart this is to build an offensive and defensive line around a young football team. Make that the priority. It's exactly what the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts. They built an offensive line and a defensive line around that young guy, and now look at them. It shows you how foolhardy the previous regime's plan was to build around skill players and inside linebackers.
Yeah. How you hear it every year in the draft. You win in the trenches, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Cardinals get their first win of the year, 28-16 over the Dallas Cowboys. And by the way, not to correct Mike McCarthy when he's down, the Cardinals didn't even score four touchdowns, as he said. They scored three. You can't even count to four. Coming up next, Sarah will take us through some social studies on this big Red Monday. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings live from the Ak Chin Community Studios here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.